From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. Before I begin our little discussion, which is going to be kind of neat because it's going to give us an opportunity to spend some good quality time with each other this week, I want to digress a little bit and talk about on a personal matter. Last Thursday, I was involved in a one-car collision in the rain, which occurred near Arlington National Cemetery. The incident resulted in the total loss of my car, a car that served me well for the past 12 years. Indeed, I was fortunate to walk away from the collision without even a scratch. The Almighty was looking out for me and protected me from harm. It was a miracle. Jovan Duncan and the entire Napus family set me at ease when I got into the office last Thursday, and Jovan, in fact, rescued me from the location of where the car was sort of, I wouldn't say abandoned, but needed to be towed away. So I thank everyone at NAPS headquarters for setting me at ease, rescuing me, and enabling me to be as calm as I could have been for the remainder of the weekend into this week. In any case, I want to talk right now about an issue that has come up this week, and that is the 10-year plan that is proposed by the Postal Service. As you might recall, on April 30th, Congressman Mark Meadows questioned the Postmaster General about when such a plan would be proposed and would be shared with Congress. It was his belief that the Postmaster General and the Postal Service would have shared that plan with the committee back in January. Well, as I mentioned in last week's podcast with Ivan Butts, our executive vice president, the members of the committee and their staff members were briefed on certain principles with regard to the plan last Thursday. What has happened since then is that the Huffington Post and a number of other news media have sort of acquired a version or a draft of the 10-year plan and have begun to report on certain aspects in it. As a result, Postmaster General this week has released a statement with regard to the 10-year plan that was addressed to postal employees. But before I get into that, I want to reflect on the last 10-year plan that was proposed by the United States Postal Service. And this is something to keep in mind as details of the 10-year plan that will be released this summer is actually shared with members, stakeholders of the United States Postal Service. For those that were around back in March 2010, particularly the elected officers of the Postal Employee Associations and CEOs and legislative staff and stakeholders within the Postal Service, there was a meeting at, of all places, the National Transportation Safety Board Auditorium. Ordinarily, that auditorium is used if there is a major transportation disaster, like an airplane crash or train derailment or so forth, that results in casualties. Well, the March 2010 meeting involved the presentation of a postal reorganization plan, or a 10-year plan, and it was presented to everyone in that auditorium, which is adjacent to postal headquarters. That plan was presented with the assistance of three organizations: McKinsey & Company, which is a international consulting operation, the Boston Consulting Group, and Accenture. Only two of the three analysts or contractors to provide the data for that 10-year plan actually presented a formal document. And that was the Boston Consulting Group and the McKinsey & Company. Accenture did not make a formal presentation, as I recall, at that meeting, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. But I did want to share with you certain aspects and certain commonalities about what was presented in 2010 and what we might be able to, what we might expect in the upcoming document that we will see. Certain things have not changed. The key drivers or the key reasons why postal reform or the Postal Service is in the crisis that it is presently in is that there has been a major revenue decline. And that is the result of the diversion of first-class mail using e-commerce. That includes remittance mail, financial mail. And then there was a loss of advertising mail due to the recession, the 2006 to 2014 recession, and that mail did not come back, that advertising mail. And that accounted for a tremendous amount of mail revenue. Additionally, similar to when we were talking 10 years ago, there was that pre-funding requirement that the Postal Service is required to make, required to account for, and to set aside money for, real money. That is an obligation that is not sort of borne by any other organization in the world. And thirdly, it's that the Postal Service really has not had the regulatory opportunity or legislative opportunity to really innovate it, nor, unfortunately, has it had much desire to provide innovative products and services that really will maintain and grow its market position. With that in mind, we'd also have to figure out what are the four, there are four aspects of the postal model, that there is certain trends going on, that volume is declining steadily. In 2010, interestingly enough, the McKinsey and Company report indicate or projected that the Postal Service would, in the year 2020, drop from around 170 billion pieces of mail to around 150 billion pieces of mail. In fact, that 150 billion pieces of mail was hit 2 years ago. Right now, we're talking about 147 billion pieces of mail in the mail stream. So we fell short of actually the McKinsey Group projections. The mail volume has declined precipitously since 2010. Secondly, the Postal Service doesn't have the ability to set its prices to reflect the true market and to maximize its revenue by adjusting prices accordingly. It has certain fixed costs, that is the legal and statutory and moral obligation to maintain a universal service, the universal service obligation, that is maintain certain delivery points, retail locations, consistency with speed of delivery of mail, and to provide certain types of preferential treatment to mail that doesn't necessarily pay its own way, periodical mail, nonprofit mail, for example. And then it has certain workforce, legacy costs, workplace costs, that's benefits of postal employees, which are mandated by statute. For example, participation in the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program and the Federal Employees Retirement System and the Civil Service Retirement System. In fact, any employee that has been onboarded after 1984 is no longer in the Civil Service Retirement System. They are all in the Federal Employees Retirement System, which in fact is a less costly retirement system for the United States Postal Service. So those are the consistent drivers of and consistent issues that we need to deal with as we understand the challenges facing the Postal Service. What I want to talk about now is certain proposals that were made back in 2010 and to use that as sort of a baseline for what we might expect in a 2019 10-year plan. First, I think we need to look at whether or not the Postal Service has since then within its sort of powers been able to project or to implement any new products and services that are innovative that could raise revenue to make up at least a portion of the lost mail volume and lost revenue. There were representations with regard to hybrid mail, different versions of advertising products that could be made available to the stakeholders and to mail postal customers. Additionally, whether or not it has sought enhanced legislative flexibility to bring new products and services to market. Now, let me come back to that, what I indicated at the beginning, that two of three consultants actually made presentations at that 2010 meeting at the National Transportation Safety Board Auditorium. The Accenture Group, which actually did conducted an evaluation of opportunities for innovative services and products, did not make a presentation or a formal presentation at that meeting. The only folks that made presentations were those who sought to reorganize the Postal Service and were supporting proposals to cut services for the Postal Service or to cut benefits for postal employees. The retail generating portion of the three-member consultant panel, as indicated by Accenture, did not make that presentation. To this day, I do not know why Accenture was not permitted to make that presentation to the stakeholders at that meeting. So anyway, products and services are something that we ought to be looking at with regard to a 10-year plan. Secondly, pricing. To what degree will the Postal Service seek to put in place more pricing flexibility? Now, we're still waiting for the Postal Regulatory Commission to implement the changes to the current postal price setting regime. The PRC actually issued its findings at the end of 2018, but we are still waiting for the Postal Regulatory Commission to vote on the implementation of such changes. So in that part, we hope that the PRC is able to do so expeditiously, because if they provide the Postal Service with more flexibility and the opportunity to raise rates a bit, that might relieve some of the pressure on the Postal Service with regard to its revenue needs. One of the other areas that we looked at in 2010 were the service levels, that there were recommendations made that the Postal Service to reduce its service standards and reduce the number of locations where it actually would deliver mail. That is, to increase the amount of time it takes from mail entering the system till it's delivered. That was one of the cost savings proposals. And secondly, to modify the venue of mail delivery, that is, move from door delivery to cluster boxes. Delivery frequency is a legislative change that was contemplated back in 2010. And that was moving from 6-day delivery to 5-day delivery, or even they suggested 3-day delivery. The Congress has shown absolutely no inclination to move in that direction, and legislative change would be necessary to implement a 3-day delivery or 5-day delivery. And in fact, the Postal Service is moving right now to 7-day delivery and on parcels, but Congress has shown no inclination to sort of create a separate delivery system for parcels versus regular correspondence mail. Another area where the 10-year plan back in 2010 was being contemplated was access, that is, to reduce the number of retail postal locations and at the same time accelerate the use of online retail postal services and using other types of opportunities to place post offices in locations that are not traditionally postal. Now, despite the fact of increased online or promotion of online services, retail use of the Postal Service or retail visits have been fairly stable. So even with the promotion of alternative means of retail services, people still visit their post offices because they like visiting their post offices, despite the lines in many of them. Now, with regard to workforce flexibility and workforce benefits, this is an area that does in fact require legislative change. If the Postal Service, as was contemplated back in 2010, were to remove itself from the Federal Employees Retirement System and simply provide a 401k type of retirement plan, that would require legislative action, because the Postal Service by postal employees by statutory right participate in the Federal Employees Retirement System, current and future employees, that is. Additionally, if the Postal Service were to contemplate increasing the employee contribution to FERS, as has been proposed by the White House in previous budgets, that would also need legislative change. The Postal Service cannot do it unilaterally. And up until this point, Congress has shown no desire to embrace or to implement that type of proposal, even when Congress was under Republican control prior to the 2018 election. There are certain policy considerations that the Postal Service needs to consider that are much broader. For example, and we've spoken about this in the past, what is the scope of the universal service obligation? You saw a certain consistency in the testimony and in statements now coming out of the Postal Service that maybe the universal service obligation needs to be altered. Maybe we need to narrow the obligation. Maybe we should look at the amount of money the Postal Service brings in and see what type of universal service can that revenue support. Now, Congressman Mark Meadows, who is the former chairman of the Postal Subcommittee, has opened up the sort of opportunity to seek maybe a public service subsidy to provide for universal services, particularly to rural areas. And that would mean that the Postal Service, if it were to accept a subsidy, could no longer claim that it was totally self-sufficient, that there would be a modest taxpayer subsidy, but a taxpayer subsidy to maintain the universal service obligation. That is sort of what Mark Meadows has sort of floated and in comments made to postal stakeholders. And lastly, with regard to the retiree health benefits, the proposal is, and this is something that I think all the stakeholders believe, is that the Postal Service should be relieved of the obligation, not necessarily to account for, but to pay for the future retiree health obligations, and that obligation should not, in fact, be included in an amortization schedule that the Postal Service would be required to sort of pay, because no other federal or private institution must pay for its future retiree health benefits. And that's what's been contemplated in legislation. So that is sort of the look back to and from 2010. To what extent the 2019 10-year business plan sort of varies from the previous one is going to be very interesting. And it's also going to be very enlightening. And it's going to demonstrate whether or not this is merely the 2019 10-year plan is simply warmed over proposals that were disregarded or rejected back in 2010. As I said earlier, the Postmaster General released a statement. The statement was directed to postal employees that sought to clarify that whatever was leaked to the press is not the final version of a 2019 10-year plan, that the plan is a work in progress, and that the Temporary Emergency Committee of the Board of Governors is currently working on such a plan, and that temporary committee includes the two presidentially nominated Board of Governors, Governor Duncan and Governor Williams, as well as the Postmaster General herself and Deputy Postmaster General Ron Stroman. It's also important to note that in the statement to the employees, the Postmaster General indicated that the 10-year plan is based on the current business model of the Postal Service, which is a self-sustaining model without any type of public subsidy of the United States Postal Service, and that it anticipates that there is enough generation of revenue through the sale of products and services to pay for all postal obligations. That is the basis of the plan, and that is being contemplated for release later this summer. Now, it is also important that it is recognized that any type of business change in the business plan will require legislation. And the Postmaster General does acknowledge that some elements of the plan are politically unpalatable. And that's a direct quote from her statement. That means that will be legislatively challenging in passing those recommendations. And the Postmaster General challenges Congress that if it rejects any of the Postal Service's recommendations, that they replace, that the institution replaces that recommendation with an alternative that will bring in the same amount of revenue or save the same amount of money that the Postal Service is contemplating. The Postmaster General also references that she intends to work with stakeholders as they proceed with a postal plan in the future. Let's talk about the Board of Governors right now. There are three new Board of Governors that are pending on the floor of the United States Senate: John Barger, Ramon Martinez, and Ron Blum. They are currently pending. They've been approved by the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. And if they, if the three of them are in fact confirmed by the Senate, there will be a working majority on the Postal Board of Governors, and they can move forward with a lot of initiatives and probably and a to embrace a 10-year plan with a working quorum on the Board of Governors. In addition to that, Robert Duncan has been renominated for a for his board slot because his slot expired in December 2018, and he is currently in the holdover year. Dave Williams, the other Board of Governors, term expires at the end of this year in December 2019, so he, as of this point, has not been renominated by the president. We're going to be waiting to see how the Board of Governors plays out, how whether or not we're going to wait for another Board of Governors so everyone is sort of paired. There's a Democrat and a Republican nominee for each of the slots, each of the open to fill the vacancies, and that's going to be that's going to play out probably during the summer. In any case, what we need to focus on as NAPS members is once the 10-year plan is proposed, is actually unveiled by in Congress, whether or not there's a hearing to that effect, we need to be primed and ready to roll in reacting to whatever that proposal is and to indicate what issues within that proposal NAPS can support and which proposals give us tremendous heartburn. At the same time, we are sort of optimistic that Congress, particularly the House Oversight and Reform Committee, will in fact introduce legislation in short order that could also be part of the postal reform narrative. It's important that the 10-year plan not be the only narrative out there, that Congress needs to set its priorities firmly in legislation, and that it is a we should recognize that it is in fact a congressional responsibility as ingrained in the Constitution that it holds the keys to the post office. Thank you. And that'll be it for this week. I look forward to speaking with you next week.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.